raised rowdy.
All right, well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast.
Yes.
With our special guest, Mr. Carson Jeffrey.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Bro, absolutely. Thanks for,
good
for
to meet
being
you.
Here.
Nice to meet y'all.
Yeah. I have some friends from Oklahoma, and they have been talking about you extensively. That's kind of how I got to your show.
Really?
At the basement. Yeah.
Okay.
My friend Amy that we met in Key West.
Oh, yeah. Amy McIntyre.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. She's a longtime fan of us, man.
Yes.
Great lady. Great family.
Yeah, she, her and her family come to town, and oftentimes they'll come to our events when they do, so.
Okay. Heck yeah.
I think that's who actually turned me on to your music.
Okay. So. Yeah, she comes to all of our Oklahoma shows, and I was actually going to text her. I keep forgetting about it. She needs to come down to our live album, so down in Texas, so it'll be fun, but.
Oh, you're recording a live album down there?
We are, yeah. We're doing it actually in my hometown, Cat Spring, down there. We're May 11th. We're
That's
doing
awesome.
Our first live album, so we're
what
excited.
What venue will it be?
It's one nobody's ever heard of.
Oh, gotcha.
No, it's called the Cat Spring Hall. It's just this really old, 1800s vintage just dance hall down there. They used to have a lot more dances back in the day,
mm-hmm.
but now, just changing times and nobody kind of comes in there anymore. But hometown kid, we're going to make it alive again.
Yeah, we're going to sell it out.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Speaking of dance halls, Nick and I were talking about this the other day. Like, dancing, I got to learn how to do that.
You're not a dancer?
I'd like to be.
Yeah.
I know, like, we were talking about Keller earlier. He knows how to dance. And I noticed he's married. So maybe there's something to that, you know?
I'm not that great. My wife, she was actually a college dancer. She danced collegiate dancing or whatever. But so she's pretty good. Me, not so much though. But
yeah, that I need to learn how to two-step. I feel like that'd be fun. Like I understand how it works, but I just the practice of it. Theory and practice is different.
Yeah.
Especially like. I used to like not really know anything about Texas country, and then around like 2020 is like when I started getting into it,
mm-hmm.
and going to play College Station.
Mm-hmm.
I went and played Flatland. I was like, okay, I need to learn how to do this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Culturally, very different than what you see.
Yeah, it's so fun, man. Dancing's great. I understand why people like it so much. I'm like, oh, I should like quit being scared and just learn how to do this.
It's not that bad. Oh, I can two-step, and that's about it. But.
I feel like that's all you need sometimes.
Oh yeah,
just to get out there.
Yeah, yeah, I can't do any of that. I'm mostly just good at listening to stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Our show on Saturday night. Yeah, Saturday we were playing in Oklahoma up there. I forget what part of the set it was. I was just singing and looking over the top there, and these people were dancing out there. He lifted her way up over her head and just dropped her right on top of her. I mean, I don't know if she landed right on her head, but just crashed right on the floor.
Oh.
And, like, I literally stopped in the middle of what I was doing. Or I was between verses or whatever. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I wonder if the crowd just read my lips. But he dropped her hard.
Oh, man. Was she okay?
Yeah, I know. She got up laughing, but he had her up there pretty high. And I don't know what I guess he just slipped.
Yeah, beer will do that.
Maybe Rumplemints.
Yeah.
Maybe some Rumple. Yeah.
It's Rumplemints. We talked about that for the people that are listening to Pod before the Pod happened, but it's coming back too. Is it like that in the Oklahoma scene, Texas scene as well?
My guitar player, his nickname is Rumple Rusty, or it was.
Ooh.
He's retired from Rumple. He officially
smart man
put it away because that's his alter ego. When he drinks Rumple, the Rumple Rusty comes out, and we try and stay away from that in my band because it's gotten us a few nights for sure.
Yeah, dude, your band is smoking live too.
Like, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
we've been working at it, you know, and been putting together this group of guys for a few years now, and finally got a group that it's really fun. So
yeah,
can you shout the boys out and tell us what they play?
Yeah, we got Travis James. He is on the electric guitar and the steel guitar.
So he doubles.
He does.
Double duty.
Back and forth all night.
Mm-hmm.
And, he'll complain about it a little, but I know he loves it. So.
Yeah.
And then I got Mr. Ryan Rogers on he just plays electric. And we got Robert White. He's on bass guitar. And then we got Chase Chancellor. He's our drummer. So, yeah.
Good crew of boys.
Absolutely.
I was listening to your music in preparation for this,
mm-hmm.
and just the production is kind of like, a lot of the songs, there's really no like electric guitar. It's just bass, drums, acoustic, and steel is like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all over that.
For
so I was
sure.
wondering if that's what it was like live.
No, we try and pump it up a lot more live. We do use a lot of steel. And I've been trying to bring some more fiddle back in lately too on the studio tracks. We've never had a fiddle player ever, and I don't know. I don't see getting one in the near future, but maybe sometime. But no, the live shows, we definitely try to pump it up more with guitars and stuff. So
yeah, it's but I do like the production is very simple on your records, and it's like just very classic, which I love.
I appreciate it.
And as someone that plays steel guitar, it's cool to hear that instrument shine so much on your music.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah. I feel like it kind of took a turn, like in the first album and stuff, it was pretty present and then kind of went to the back burner. But now, like on the stuff we've been doing a lot lately, Travis has really been doing a lot on it. So it's been fun.
Yeah, sounds great.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Who's producing it?
David Beck. We just started producing with him in the past 6 months or so, maybe a little longer. But yeah, we're down there in Dripping Springs, Texas at Western Wind Recording. And it's been fun. It's been a change of pace. So we were doing everything up here for the past couple of years, and then went back down there. So
that's cool.
Are you living in town, or are you still in Texas? Or
nope, I'm living in Cat Spring, Texas.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Kitty City.
Right. And that's where the show's going to be, right? Hometown.
That is, yeah, for the live album. So
I know it's like some artists come from like these awesome locations.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Kitty City's great. I've never been there, but sometimes I'm like, why'd you move to Nashville? You know?
Yeah.
And so it's cool when people don't, I think.
Right.
So, because your music sounds just by the fact that you're not living in town, it sounds different.
Right.
Which I think is great.
Yeah. No, that was a big part of going back home to Texas for this, all this past stuff, and then the stuff we're recording right now. I don't know. We come up here and it was great. It was fun and made some great music. But then we were like, man, let's just go home and do it down there and try it. We just felt like we wanted to do something a little different, and we did, and we feel like it's been working. So
yeah, and you're right in the middle of releasing a group of singles, so you've been dropping them this year.
Yeah, we've dropped two so far. We got another one coming on Friday, so.
Yeah, don't, which at this point's out now. Yeah. By the time they listen to the pod.
Yeah, don't drop them on their head though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So these are all with your new producer?
It is, yeah, with David.
Why don't we do a rundown of the tracks? So what's the most recent one that now is out but not out when we're recording the pod?
You mean the one we got coming out?
Correct.
Yes, Why in the World.
Yeah.
Be out Friday. Yep.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's just a song about, kind of love gone wrong, about a girl deceiving you, and he's like, why in the world did God make her, you know? Mm-hmm. You did everything right, and then she didn't want you. So, typical old country song. Yeah, you know how it goes.
That's what we like to hear, man.
Yeah. I mean, the standards are standards for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
Tells as old as time. That's why they relate to so many people.
Yeah, no, I felt like it was a little bit different for me. It's not like something that I was going through or nothing. I just picked it up, and it kind of flowed as a fun little song, and we turned it into kind of a... It's a sad song, but then all of a sudden it's kind of like a fun tune. You know what
musically?
I mean? Yeah, musically. So it's a neat deal for us, that song.
Are you co-writing extensively when you're here in town or
I've done some co-writing here. Trying to think. Our previous single we just put out, Marlboro's at Midnight, I wrote in town here with Carlton Anderson, who he actually moved back to Texas now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wrote that one with him, and I've done a couple other co-writes here and there. But for the most part, it's just me. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's like a difference between like, you know, the Texas and Oklahoma scene, the red dirt scene, and and here for sure is you'll see a lot more solo rights. In that space, just because there's so much space in Texas. Everyone thinks about the Texas scene, but Texas is like half the country.
Yeah, you know? You want to go write with your buddy, you got to drive, 5 hours to go write with him. So here you just go across the street.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's we kind of get spoiled being here in Nashville in the songwriting scene is like, to think about that stuff. But remember like I had William Clark Green on the podcast, I guess years ago at this point, but hearing him just kind of talk about that, where it's like there's group text messages of songwriters and like stuff like that. It's kind of like how you keep connected.
It is. I've been in a couple of those, but it seems like after about week three or four, they kind of disperse a little bit.
Yeah. It's hard. Keeping anything running is hard, you know?
It is, yeah, especially with, busy schedules and everything. Whenever those deals where it's like you try to send in a song a week and you got all those guys in there, it's hard to do. It's a lot on the plate.
How many shows a year are you averaging?
In the past couple of years, we've done, 80 or so full band, maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That's a comfortable amount.
Yeah. But it's kind of, we're kind of, in the middle point of transitioning, so we're getting back into it. So
cool. And I know, like, you know, from your story that I've read up on is a little bit different than a lot of people that are on the road. Like,
sure,
your weekly life is a little bit, you know,
yeah,
more traditional country, maybe Texas than that. Why don't you give us a little rundown of
yeah,
that?
Sure. During the week, I mean, we get home on Sunday, and like I got home this past Sunday, and I went and saddled up and ran some calves all afternoon. I'm just a rodeo kid. I grew up rodeoing my whole life, and you know, I don't get to compete at the rodeos much anymore because mm-hmm. we're on the road every weekend. But I've got some young horses at the house, and I still enjoy during the week, Monday through, you know, Wednesday, I'll rope at the house as much as I can and keep them in shape to where every now and then when I do get a chance to go enter somewhere, I can still go do it, you know. So, yeah.
I know when we were on tour in Australia, Kojo competed over there.
I saw some videos of that.
That's so great.
Yeah. Yeah, they were team roping over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And him and Jake, I think, are both cowboys on that band. So.
Yeah.
And don't quote me on this, but I think they're the only guys in the band that wear, like, the hats on stage. And I think that's, like, a rule or something. Like, it's like you have to actually be a cowboy to wear a cowboy
right.
hat. You have to, like, rope and ride and all that.
Yeah, I got to go out to their show in Vegas at the MGM this year.
How good was it?
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, I haven't seen Cody Johnson in... Before that show, oh man, probably 5 years or so, four or five years or something. So, to see all that, the change that's happened mm-hmm. there, it's crazy. And got to talk to Jake for a long time.
Yeah.
He told me to come out and rope, so I need to take him up on the offer. Hadn't had time to get up there. So.
And now their sets, they've got all those hits now.
Yeah.
So, which is really cool.
Yeah.
The crowd, I mean, they're just pulling just insane numbers now. And they're so good live, too.
Yeah, they are.
It's funny, like, in the Raised Rowdy world, we're, like, heavily in the kind of, like, festival world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, interesting to see, like, what are, like, the headliners that you'll see at a good chunk of festivals for the year.
Right.
And so, like, this year coming up, Cody's on a lot of festivals, and we're so stoked to get to see that show.
Yeah.
Look, you know, we get to see some shows that we haven't seen before, but getting to see some that you have seen and you really enjoy is
my
favorite.
Oh, yeah.
So for Cody's live show is awesome.
Yeah.
Benchmark for that for sure.
Yeah, I've definitely. What are those things called that are like you practice roping on? I made a PVC pipe,
a dummy. Yeah,
I definitely tried on those before. Like in just like when all the buses are parked, at a festival, there's always like some act that has one out and trying to do that before. Have you ever tried to do it?
No, dude.
We carry one around with us 24/7. All of us.
Oh yeah, and like it's hard enough standing on the ground,
right?
But if I'm like on a horse, which I've not, but like I just is it much harder doing it that way
on a horse?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's a lot more going on for sure. Yeah. There's a lot more moving parts.
You're like however people do that, I don't know.
Yeah, man, it's just muscle memory is all it is. About like playing the guitar, you know?
Throwing a baseball or something.
Yeah, once you figure it out, and you've been, you know, I've been doing it my whole life, so it's just an extension of my body. Whenever I get on, it's just another piece of me. So
second nature. Yeah.
Second nature for sure. Like riding a bicycle.
Yeah. Have you ever like been out in public and then someone says, "Stop that man! He stole my purse!" And then you're like,
"No,
doesn't keep the rope with them, Kurt."
No, I have.
Maybe he does. I don't know.
I almost keep a rope with me all the time. Yeah, I pretty much got like one in every truck and
open carry a rope.
Yeah. No, my maybe not a person, but I had to take my wife's milk cow to the vet. I don't know, probably 4 or 5 months ago, and. She was a little bit sick, and she just had a calf, and so I unloaded her, and I wasn't paying attention. I was carrying the calf. It was just a day old, and I was carrying it to the back pen they had in there, and the lady that was helping me, I just walked through, and she didn't close the gate behind me or whatever, and the mama cow turned around and just walked right out into the neighborhood and everything. So I was like, oh, great. So I tried to get a feed bucket and get her to come in because she's halter broke and everything, but being that setting, she wasn't wanting to come to it that day. So I had the rope in my truck, went and grabbed it. I had to chase her through these neighborhood and all the flower beds. I finally got her in somebody's backyard, and I roped her and had to lead her back over there. But so what?
All
in
a person, day's work.
Literally.
Yeah. All for the milk cow.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome.
Well, yeah.
So we've talked about, you know, the Texas scene a little bit in your show, but I know you had a show that is – one of the legendary venues in that scene, Green Hall.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Green Hall, we sold it out last time we did it. It was in June this past year. Yeah. So, And it was so hot. I think it was probably 105 that day or something like that. And that building, have you all ever been to Green? You haven't?
Yeah.
You
it's almost dangerous.
Yeah. It was, I think it's the hottest I've ever been in my life. We played, and I mean, you know, you're playing at 10:30 at night, but it's still however hot outside. And then that old tin roof just keeping the heat in from the day. And 800 people in there, and then being on that stage, it was hot. We got off stage, played the encore, walked off, and they got the little back bathroom behind it there, where it's basically the artist's green room.
Yeah.
We went back there, and I was looking in the mirror, and I was like beet red, and I kind of had chills, and I was like, man, I don't know if I'm okay. I might have a heat stroke at 11 o'clock at night.
We played at Coyote Joe's like that one time in the summer, and it was so hot, like people were passing out in the crowd. Like we had to stop and like, hey, make sure we need medic. We get these people up.
Crazy.
It's just so hot. And this is the only time I've ever seen this. When we get off stage and Dustin Nunley grabbed a bottle of our guitar player, grabbed a bottle of water instead of a beer after the show. I'm like, this dude is hot. That's when you know. He was like, dude, right. I'm not well.
Yeah, that would be about like if I saw my guitar player Travis grab a water, I'd be like, you all right? Yeah.
Well, we've talked about your show a little bit, and we talked about it being upbeat. But like, when someone's at your show or leaving your show, what do you want them to have like really experienced? You know, what would you say is like what your show is?
Yeah. Man, you know, I was a fan before I was a performer, and so I, you know, growing up, my last few years of high school and then early college before I was in a band and everything, it was, you know, William Clark Green shows, you know, Randy Rogers, Cody Johnson, all those guys that were kind of really coming up and starting to make it at that time. And I just wanted to do that, you know, like that, just have that energy I hate to use the word rockin' show, but it is a little bit rockin'.
It is.
You know, it's got your guitar driven and just your transitions that you put into it and everything are just a little bit more upbeat and keep the show going. And yeah, man, I just want people to feel that same energy whenever they leave. It's like, man, they really put on a hell of a show. Like it was moving, you know, it never stopped and it was fluid. And that's our goal every time is, you know, to just make sure everybody feels like it was never dead at any time.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just try and put on a show, you know.
Yep.
Well, hopefully that they feel the energy.
Yeah, I think that's like, I mean, when I saw your guys' show, I was like, man, this is like a full send, you know, Texas, like Western experience, but your version of it, which is definitely more rocking than a lot of stuff, I would say.
Yeah.
Just vibe-wise of the show.
For sure. Especially the live show.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more rocking.
Yeah.
And that show was tough. You know, we've been on in-ears for, I don't know, a few years now, and then you go there and you're on...
Back to wedges.
You're on your wedges, and it's this little tight room, and you're like, what are you doing? I can't hear you or anything. And
what's this, in the basement?
Yeah, OG basement.
It's fun playing there.
Oh, right? I loved it. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm just saying for like a, you know, trying to actually play a great show with the band for not doing it in a while on wedges, we were kind of like, oh my gosh, I hope we sounded all right.
Yeah, talk about like dirty and sweaty. That's kind of venue.
But a heck of a time. That's a great fun time. Place. Yeah, it was a good crowd that night.
And then it sounds like you have another Nashville show lined up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
We do, yeah. May 30th, at the Basement East.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be a fun one. We're playing it with Tyler Halverson. So,
that's awesome.
Yep, we're opening up for him over there, and it's going to be a good time.
Kurt and I were just there for Caitlin Butts and Nikki Lane.
Yeah.
I love that venue, man. I don't know if you've been.
I haven't been there. Nope.
It's a great venue.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, the green rooms are like not the, you know, they're green rooms though, so that's good.
No, they're better now.
Are they?
Remember that tornado?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So after the tornado, it's backstage is a lot nicer.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't terrible before, but it's a little more spacious feeling now.
And it sounds great in there.
Really?
I mean, I've gotten to see a good bit of like that, you know, like Texas-y scene there too. Mm-hmm. They do embrace that there. Like I saw Gio and the Hired Guns and, you know, Reed Southall before they were just Southall. And, it's a good, and there's a lot of people in this town that love that.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a great showcase spot for it. So I'm stoked that you're getting to play that room, man.
Yeah, man. That's cool. Gio and them are good guys, and reading them too. Yep.
And it's really close to my house, so I can just Uber for like $6.
Yeah. Not close for me, but I'll just drive, you know.
Yeah.
So what else are you got? I mean, you know, you're playing a lot of dates. Like, any other like big dates that you're playing that you want to?
We're playing Green Hall again awesome. On April 14th, and so that's going to be a fun one there. And just trying to line them up and get after it for the summer.
Get them rolling.
Yeah, like to maybe head back up to the out west a little bit, Wyoming and stuff. Maybe this summer. It's so pretty up there that time of the year. Yeah,
gorgeous.
It's the best time to play. Bring the golf clubs.
Oh yeah. Do you like the golf? Is that one of your things that you
enjoy? Yeah, I mean, I'm not very great at it, but whenever you get to go play in some cool spots, it makes it funner. I feel like you play better too. You know, when you're at home playing and it's 100 degrees in Texas at a dirt pasture course, it's not very fun. But
yeah, nice and green in other spaces.
Yeah,
better.
I mean, is anyone really good at golf?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. There's.
I don't know.
You ever seen Tiger Woods in his prime, dude?
I know, but like, I mean, like regular, like humans, not like demigods. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just, I think golf is like the hardest thing I've ever tried to do, except for play the fiddle. But no, golf is probably even harder, I think, at least for me.
It's pretty addicting.
Yes. Cause you get that one shot and you're like, and that dopamine drips in your brain and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's addicting. It's addicting to me, like holes, you know, like one through probably like 15 or so. And then, the last few, you're like, I think I'm ready to go home.
Yeah. It's funny, like, I'm like a NASCAR race. I'm like, I like the idea of a NASCAR race, but once I'm about, you know, maybe like 40 laps in, I'm like, where's that beer truck at?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
where's the cart, the beer cart at?
Yeah.
That's when you just watch people.
Yeah.
You know, golf, the people watching isn't as good as...
No, you know, NASCAR's great.
Oh, yeah. Like, we played the Daytona 500 a couple of times.
Yeah.
Wow.
And sick. It's super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet those fans are pretty there for it.
Oh,
they
are. Yeah, for sure. Heck they yeah. like the Beer Never Broke My Heart song. Yeah. They like that. We do well with that crowd.
That's their favorite.
That's funny.
Why don't we talk a little bit about like some of the artists, whether they're country or not. You know, you mentioned some of it, but some of the folks that like really help craft your like thing that you love and why you love music.
For sure. I always tell people that in the beginning, like really young, it was Cross Canadian Ragweed.
Yeah.
My uncle burnt me off like every CD they had made up to that point whenever I was probably, I don't know, like 8 years old or something. And we had gotten a new truck at the time where you could load like six CDs in at one time in the back seat or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'd had all of them loaded in with my headphones. And every time we go to town, like that's all I listened to was Cross Canadian Ragweed. And still a huge fan of them. We've got to open up for Cody and them a few times now. So
great.
But, yeah, I know them for sure. And then ZZ Top back in, like, whenever I was really young. Mm-hmm. My mom's uncle, my grandma's brother, when they did their worldwide Texas tour back in the 70s, I think it was 73.
It's a great name for tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. They took all these animals with them, like longhorns, buffalo, all this stuff. They took them on the tour with them, and they had, like, this whole fair with every show. But my uncle was the one that he owned all those animals and trained them all and went on the road with them, and they parked all the buses and trucks out at his house in Houston whenever they're back home. And so my family's always been big ZZ Top fans, and so I kind of fell into that at an early age. And after that, though, it was kind of Chris Knight and Ryan Bingham, and then I moved into guys like William Clark Green and stuff like that, and that's when I really found out what the scene was and everything.
Bingham's crazy too. I remember seeing Bingham show live and then seeing it when it was like at a spot where he had his crew with him and like understanding how much the lighting and like how much that vibe is a different thing, you know?
Right.
Like I just got to see him like in a little club where it was just what it was, you know?
Yeah.
But when I got to see like his production, I was like, damn, this is pretty special.
Yeah.
And the music always been special. I've loved it since I first heard it.
Oh, yeah. I've been a big fan of that since a family friend of ours introduced me to him. I was real young. And only place I've ever got to see him, though, was at, like you're saying, a bigger setting.
Yeah.
At Whitewater in New Braunfels.
It's a cool spot.
Yeah.
I played there before with the river in the back.
Yeah.
Everyone floats it during the day.
I know. Yeah. That's definitely a bucket list for us, too, to go jump in the river. So.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Any other bucket list spots that you'd like to play? Maybe we have some promoters listening that'll book
Man, I think the goal for me being a Texas boy would be the Houston Rodeo.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, I grew up 45 minutes from Houston and, or at least to the outskirts of Houston. And, I mean, I've been going to that one, you know, to that rodeo every single year since I was born.
Yeah.
And been watching Kenny Chesney there I don't know how many times. Yeah, Kenny Chesney too. I forgot about that one. Yeah. Man, whenever I was little, I was up there singing karaoke Kenny Chesney. So, but now Houston Rodeo, that would be that's my ultimate goal.
Yeah.
What I heard
65,000 people there.
Shoot, I don't even know. It's a lot.
70 maybe?
I heard big. I think, don't quote me, but I think Parker was saying in an interview, he was like, he's played the Houston Rodeo. He's like, everything else is just icing on the cake. And I kind of feel the same way. Like being from Texas, like that's kind of the ultimate goal there. Yeah. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's...
And it's crazy because the way the stage works at the Houston Rodeo is that the stage is in the middle of it. So you're...
And it spins.
Yeah. So you're on... Like, we played it, and so you're on stage, and it's just spinning around very slowly.
Right.
Which is... And they bring you out in this truck, and so everyone is cheering when you're in the bed of this truck when they bring you up to the center thing. And I felt like a WWF wrestler or something. You know what I mean? Like, from the corners, Luke calls, oh, my God. You know, and everyone's... And I'm like, they're cheering for him, not for me. But I'm like, I still kind of feel like a Beatle or something, you know?
Yeah.
You're not Ringo, you know, but.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, the producer or something. Yeah. It's just an awesome atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. When the lights go out and you know it's showtime there, you can almost feel the air change in that building. Mm-hmm. So it gets a little cooler and you start getting the chills a little bit. And then the fireworks are popping. And then here comes the car out of the tunnel. It's a pretty neat time.
Who did it this year?
Shoot, everybody.
Yeah.
Kojo, did Jelly do it? Yeah, Jelly did it, right?
I think so. Yep.
Yeah, I've never seen
Lainey
something.
Wilson, I believe, was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Oliver Anthony, I think, did it. And a bunch of other people. Yeah, I think it's right at a month long, and they got a person every night.
It's crazy. Yeah. And not all country. You know, there's
no,
some
not
other
all.
Genres.
Yeah,
too.
They got rap.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have big pop acts.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Like Olivia...
Rodrigo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, stuff like that. I don't know if her specifically, but...
Yeah.
I want to say she did do it. Maybe last year, I think. Yeah. I think she might have.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
It is. Yeah, but, I mean, you got a captive audience because even if the music wasn't there, the people would be.
Right.
You know? The music's kind of like... It helps draw it, and it helps you pick which day you're going. But, I mean, the culture around there is... That's what you're going to. One of the things with someone that's been... You know, part of, like, grew up in the, like, Western, like, Texas vibe. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that kind of crossing over into mainstream culture now a little bit?
Yeah, it definitely seems to be moving into culture for sure. It seems Yellowstone helped out quite a bit, probably.
Yeah.
Yellowstone helped with a couple things, too. I feel like it kind of introduced some more people to some Texas country as well.
For sure.
With the song choices they had in that show. But I think it's great, you know. I mean, I've grown up in it my whole life, and the people in it are great. I mean, obviously you're going to have people in every industry and lifestyle that, you know, some are maybe not great. But for the most part, I feel like a culture as a whole, we're great people, and to welcome more people into it, I feel like it's a great addition. So
yeah,
I agree, man. Well said.
Yeah.
And the more people that are wanting to make country music, then that's great, you know?
Yeah.
So rising tide will raise all ships.
More eyes and more ears on it just helps everybody. So
yeah.
Maybe some more dollars too.
Yeah.
Not going to complain.
That'd be nice one of these years. Well, what else, like, do you have going on in your life? So, I mean, we talked a little bit about golfing and your
Well, I've actually got a baby on the way.
Congrats, man.
Appreciate it. October 2nd is the due date. Got a little girl on the way, so Harper Jean.
Oh, but, I got the name picked out, yeah.
Yeah. No, we're excited. So we just knew it was going to be a boy, but turns out it wasn't.
Yeah.
We turned around, and my wife, she's a floral planner. A wedding planner, but she also does florals for all the weddings too. And so she had her assistant build a pink bouquet. And we put it behind her back and then turned around, saw the color, and I don't think either one of us saw a color at first. We just were like, what? What is this? Oh, pink. We thought it was a boy, but no, we're excited. Really excited. And just my goal is just to keep playing some shows this year and You know, I feel like we've been really, really busy lately, or in the past 2-3 years or so, to where, you know, my involvement in rodeo and Western brand is kind of taking a back burner a little bit.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, I was very involved in it, and I felt like it helped my career early on. And so a goal of mine this year is to just get back into it more and get my face out there. And because those Western brands and stuff, I mean, they love to see you out there doing things like the inner rodeos and everything. And I feel like it could really help just push me a little further this year. And so that's a goal of mine, to go enter some ropings or, you know, hang out at some places where I could be seen on a horse.
Yeah.
With a rope in my hand.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, as that, you know, that culture and that scene kind of expands, like, you are authentic to it, right?
So yeah, man.
The more you can show that, the better off you are. Right?
For sure. Yeah, no, I try to be. I try to be honest with the music as well, you know, and just make it as honest as I can. I mean, I feel like, especially the stuff we've been working on lately, a lot of it is story songs, I would say. It's not like my personal life, but at the same time, it's honest stories that, you know, could be told from anybody.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm out here, not anything against anybody that is maybe making something up in their songwriting, but I don't know. I just try and present myself through my songs, so
yeah,
best I can, or what I've heard, you know, like the Chris Knight tunes and stuff, those story songs like that, those are killer. And even if I was a third good as some of those, it'd be a heck of a tune.
Well, you're way better than a third good, man. No, and I think you see that too. It's like there's so many folks in everything in the music world, right? There's so much music out there. It's like, what's your lane of it, and how are you expressing it your way?
You know?
It's, and that, as you said, like, that's, I'm sure that's constantly evolving. And I think, I think it's cool that you are like, okay, well, let's take this back to like working with a producer that's from where we're from.
Yeah. David's been great. David Beck down there. You know, we, funny story. I don't know if I should tell this or not, but I'm going to tell it anyways. we were supposed to be down there in the Arlen Studios in Austin, and we had a production meeting the night before or whatever. We were going in and just with the band and everybody and just going through some last minute things before we went in the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. So I get there, you know, bring our guitars in, and David's kind of pacing back and forth, and he's like, look, man, you know Drake, right? And I was like, yeah, like the rapper Drake. He's like, yeah, well, he wants the studio, so for tomorrow and the next day. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. He said, but don't worry about it. If you can totally tell him to, he can kick rocks. He can go do whatever, something else. You've got the date. He's like, but it'd be really cool if you didn't. He's like, they'll compensate you, and we'll get the new date schedule, and it'll be on the house. And I was like, okay, sure thing. But so, yeah, I like to tell people that Drake paid for our past couple songs, you know.
Heck yeah. So.
That's a great story. Awesome. Thank you, Drake.
Thank you, Drake.
Yeah, for real.
And maybe should have had him feature on it or something.
Yeah, well, I was like, yeah, maybe just put my name like way real small on the bottom right corner of your, you know, back of your album cover or something. That'd be payment. But no, but anyways, yeah, no, David went down there, and I don't know, we were just looking for something fresh and wanted to come back home and try it with my guys, my band in there. And, you know, they really come a long ways the past few years as musicians and people and everybody as a whole. And we got in there, and we've just been working it out and just seeing what happens, you know, without even really picking around on them too much on the road. You know, I'm kind of not very good about having the demos ready in time to play them for a long time before. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll pick around on them for a few days before and as a band, and then just go in there and really let the creativity come out in the studio. So
yeah,
it's been a great environment. And that Western Wind studio is a brand new studio down there. And so it's been just kind of us, and we've got plenty of time to just hang out and drink some beer and play some music.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds really fun.
Kurt does that a good bit. He'll head down to Alabama and do such things.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Barbecue for lunch or tacos or whatever, and then get back in the vocal booth and
all full and sleepy feeling.
Yeah. Then you're trying to scream in the mic. And no, it's been fun though.
Cool, man.
Are you guys cutting for a record or just kind of seeing what happens?
Yeah, so we've been doing these singles that we've been dropping. I think those are just going to be some standalone singles. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, we were just testing the waters and the process of getting all this stuff figured out with coming back to Texas. But now we've been working on a new album, and we don't have a date yet or anything, but we've got a few more sessions to finish up some things and then really get into the, you know, fine combing of getting them cleaned up and everything. And I don't know, probably sometime this summer we'd hope to be putting some stuff out from it. So
that's awesome, man.
Sonically pretty similar to the singles or different?
I'd say a little bit different. We're we're kind of going a little more Western, and I don't know if that you get any more Western, but we're gonna go a little more Western, but a little more some guitar and rock in there on a few of these. The whole theme around it started, I mean, it's not set in stone, but I got a song on there. It's called Comancheria. And I read a book. It's called Empire of the Summer Moon. It's all about the whole history of, like, the Comanches and stuff. And Comancheria was their, like, territory that they, that was where, you know, the settlers had not moved into. That was their land. And then when we tried to start going in there, they really fought back and everything. And I read the whole book, and I wrote a song about a Comanche raid and, you know, some guys trying to go out and get the people that they raided and took with them. And they end up getting attacked by the Comanches, and it starts raining. And so the Comanches run off, and then they're left there wounded and everything. It's a whole story song, long deal, but it sounds really long, but it's really cool, I promise.
It sounds amazing. Maybe like a Marty Robbins kind of a thing.
Kind of, but in a different way, for sure. Definitely very Marty Robbins.
I love that stuff.
Marty Robbins meets like Chris Nine or something. I don't know.
That's great.
But anyway, so I wrote that song, and I was like, man, that'd be a heck of an album title. And like I said, nothing set in stone, but we kind of focused a lot of my songwriting based around that whole feel, you know. It's not every song about that, but there's definitely a Western feel in there, and some stuff that I've dug out lyrically that I didn't know was in there. So
I'm getting like imagery. I'm thinking like a spaghetti Western film kind of a thing.
Kind of, some of it's getting a little spaghetti in there, which was our plan even before I wrote that song, to maybe do some spaghetti, like, even, you know, like people do some tracks between the main tracks, like they break it up. I was like, what if we did a whole album and you had like four spaghetti Western tracks in the middle?
I kind of love that.
That whole deal kind of fell through. But like, that was the idea kind of going into it beforehand. So yeah, it all ended up kind of coming together. But I'm really excited about it. We've been working hard on it and getting some sounds that are pretty cool. I wrote a song about a UFO in the sky the other day, and which sounds weird, but I don't know. It might make it on, it might not, but man, we recorded it, and it's crazy. It's a really cool song, but it's about like a cowboy watching some cows, sitting out by the campfire. He sees a UFO. He's been drinking maybe a little too much, and he's like, what is that? And when we recorded it, I was like, what is that?
Dude, that sounds great. That's awesome. Yeah. It's like a Roswell, New Mexico kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to say it's weird, but it's got some weird stuff. But also, I think people are going to be jamming it. It's catchy. Got some cool melodies and guitars and everything. So,
I mean, I'm excited to hear it.
I am too.
I remember one time I was riding my bike as a kid. I was probably in middle school. And I had been out all day, like, playing hockey or basketball or whatever. And I was riding my bike around at night. And I look up in the sky, and I swear I saw a UFO.
Really?
And I was like, it's happening. This is, you know, I had seen Independence Day. This is what's going on. And it turned out to be a blimp. Like behind some clouds. But it looked just like the saucer thing. And maybe I'd been drinking a little bit.
Was it a blimp, though?
It was a blimp, for sure.
But, yeah.
I could definitely understand why people think they see UFOs and stuff. I mean, there's... Maybe there are UFOs out there.
Yeah, who knows?
Marfa lights or whatever.
Yeah, I've sat out and tried to see the Marfa lights one time. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife sat there. It was like 15 degrees, 11 o'clock at night. We stood there for like 3 minutes, and we're like, we're done. Let's get out of here. The wind was blowing a million miles an hour. And didn't see nothing. It was cloudy. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, you got to get out there and wait to see the good stuff, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Or you can't be looking for it. I think that's what it is.
Happen.
It's just got to happen.
Or maybe you guys need to drink a little bit more.
Or drink a little bit more. Yeah. More Rumple.
Yeah. Have you and your wife, like, gotten together while you were doing music, or did you start doing music after you were together?
I was right there. I'd put out my first album, yeah. But it hadn't really taken off too much yet. I mean, Ranch Girl Dream had kind of been making its rounds in College Station and Lubbock and some of that stuff. But, no, I was... we met at the Tap in College Station. I was playing a like a rider's round thing, small thing at the Tap, and so yeah, no, I really wasn't too big yet, but enough.
How do you feel about Hurricane Harry's going out of business?
Crazy, sad, I know. Huh? Yeah, we've been hearing the rumors for a long time. I mean, shoot, since I was in college, and now I guess it's finally happening. So
yeah, I mean, that's where I played there with Flatland.
Yeah.
We did three nights because it was like kind of COVID-y. So, and it was awesome. I mean, it was so much fun. But everyone everyone was like at tables, you know, instead of just standing because it was like right after COVID.
Right.
And we did Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then Saturday night, towards the end of the set, everyone just got up from the tables and just rushed the stage.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then, man, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Shoot, I think I got COVID Harry's one night.
Checks out.
Yeah, man, that's on brand.
Yeah, but no, Harry's is a fun time. We always love it. You know, your walkout song, we always try to have something pumped up. And every time we play Harry's, you got to have a good rap walkout song. Because when you walk out on that Harry stage, those subs are pumping.
Yeah.
And, like, you can barely walk because your knees are vibrating so bad. But I love Harry's. Harry's, the Tap. Those are the stomping grounds.
Isn't there like a blue something? I'm not super familiar.
Blue Light.
Blue Light,
that's
yeah.
in Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yes, sir. We've sold that one out a few times, too.
So. Hell yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
So who else has gone to Tech that isn't music? You, Keller, do you know Dylan Gossett?
It'd be A&M, not Tech.
Oh,
A&M.
Yes, sorry. I'm from Florida. So.
Careful now.
I know.
Texas people would be.
Well, I remember one time, Rob, I forget what we were playing. And Rob was on the mic at a Luke show and yelled out, "Go Tech instead of State" at somewhere. And he said the wrong one.
Oh.
And the whole arena was like, "Boo!"
Dang.
Boo! Okay. So pardon my, you know, thing, but
you're good.
So who, I mean, there's like a bunch of folks that come out of there, right?
So College Station, we had Roger Krieger back in the day, I believe, went to college or went to A&M, I think.
A&M.
Yes, sir. Texas A&M.
Yep.
Robert Earl Keen, he went there. Lyle Lovett.
No, I love Lyle Lovett.
Yeah, both of them went there. They lived together, actually, when they were there, I think. And, yeah, no, me, Jacob Stelly, Parker Ryan's down there in that town, Jordan Nix. That's just people all there going at it right now. But,
yeah.
Yeah, shoot. Oh, Colby Cooper, I feel like, kind of started out there in his early days with there at the Tap. I was there watching him play at the Crawfish Bowl back in the day, and we had no idea who he was, but that first EP was awesome. So.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
We had him on the pod before. I think he was like 20 at the time.
Yeah, he's a great guy. We played a lot of shows with him, and we kind of started at the same time, and obviously he took off. And it's been really cool to watch him do well.
Yeah, man, I miss College Station. Those boys were good to me.
Yeah, a little flat and inside joke, you know?
Yeah.
So are you seeing your music work in the college towns in Texas? Because I've heard things where it's like you have to kind of be rocking now in some of those college towns. And your show, I think, has enough rocking in the show for that to like kind of, I think, seat itself next to that stuff that's maybe more traditionally rock leaning.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I think Co kind of went in there and disrupted everything in Texas to where everybody was like, man, if you're not rock, you can get out of here.
Yeah.
But no, it's been awesome, you know. The college kids, they love it, you know. College Station, San Marcos, Lubbock, Stephenville.
Yeah,
those towns are great, and yeah, but also, you know, I don't think it's too bad for people that aren't maybe necessarily as rocking, you know.
Yeah,
you've got guys that are more traditional, like Braxton Keith.
Yeah,
that I feel like is doing really great right now, and you know, he's pulling great crowds just as much as we are. So, Yeah, but they do love a good time, for sure.
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
No, I do.
Maybe not Nashville shows as much, but... Yeah. I don't know how many Nashville shows you've played, but one of the things I talk about is I'm like... People are scared to be in the front row sometimes in a Nashville show.
Right.
And, I mean, your basement show was not like that. So yeah. That's good to see.
They get up there and get a little wild in Texas. They're not afraid to show who they really are. Mm-hmm. So
I love that. That's, like, where my heart lives, being, just a fan of music, is, like, getting to see people expressing themselves by listening to their music that they love.
Oh, yeah.
And, spending their hard-earned money, having their... The best time they're having that week.
That's where I get real excited when we go play those college bars like the Tap and the Blue Light, when it's the kind of smaller club, 500 cap or something. And you get in there and everybody is just going at it on the front row, singing every word, throwing beer around.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a fight, maybe there's not, but
good rowdy crowd.
A good rowdy crowd. And because that's what I was standing in the crowd watching, Co and Parker and Will Green and those guys, I was seeing those crowds react like that for them.
Yeah.
So then when we get to go up there in some of the same venues and I see those crowds do that for us, it's a pretty cool thing,
Have you gotten to tour like the Southeast at all yet?
Not at all. We did, Starkville.
Starkville. Mississippi. Ricks?
Yes, Ricks.
He's an early adopter for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did that one and it was decent. I mean, I'm not going to say it was a great crowd, but we had people come out and I was impressed because that was kind of a off show, and we booked it all the way back to Texas for a private gig the next day. It was a heck of a trip, but it was a good time. We haven't gotten out that way very much. Yeah. So
a room to keep in mind that I just got to go to recently is the Blue Room in Statesboro, Georgia, and it is insane.
Really?
Very wild. From the sounds of it, reminds me of like kind of what you're talking about in those like Texas-y college bars.
Right, right.
So if you can get down there to Statesboro in the Blue Room, I would recommend.
Yeah.
I think they would love your show too.
For sure. Yeah, no, I'd love to go play down there and also just to see a little bit of that country. I don't know. I like going places and seeing things, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna say one of the big perks of the job, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Have you had any like shows or markets that embraced you that you didn't know if it would or something like that? Anything like that kind of happen?
No. I mean, I'd say anything out of Texas where we get a great crowd kind of surprises me in the past few years.
Yeah.
We go up to Kansas and play Manhattan at the Hat.
Yeah.
We go to Greeley, Colorado and play the Moxie.
Yeah.
Places like that. And you go in there and the Moxie was almost sold out, and Kansas was a great crowd, and they're in there just screaming. So when you get to go do that outside of College Station, Texas, then it feels pretty good. So, and it's surprising. Yeah. When you have no idea how the show's going to go, and you drive up there and then you get there that day and they're like, you got 200 presale, and you're like, okay, let's do it.
Hell right.
Yeah. Dude, that's great. And I think that's one of the cool things about the culture of music now too, is like, you can listen to music that maybe 30 years ago used to only kind of be listened to regionally.
Mm-hmm.
And now with like Spotify and everything that, like you can see that. And honestly, you're probably getting data of like what markets are doing well for you.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Yeah. I don't think I look at the data too much. Maybe I should a little bit more.
Yeah. I'm sure your booking agent does.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of look at the monthly listener thing, but at the same time, I try not to pay attention to it too much. I don't like to compare. I just, I tell the guys all the time, we just got to stay on our own track,
and
keep doing the best we can. And that's what we've really been trying to do the past 6 months or so, is just get in there and do our thing.
Honestly, that's the best way to be. If you start living in the world of comparing yourself to other people,
It'll drive you crazy. Yeah. You start looking at everybody else's success and you'll get sad real fast.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, that'll help you take the foot off the pedal, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking side to side, you're not moving forward as fast.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think that's great. I love that. And dude, I mean, at the end of the day, you're the artist. You need to do what's right for you, and need to do what makes you feel like you're doing the right things for you. And that's going to be what the fans will end up loving.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you believe in it and you're pushing forward and you're behind it 100%.
Yeah.
That's what's going to work.
Yeah. Well, and even talking about musically for the upcoming album and stuff. I mean, you know, everything I put out so far was music that I liked. So I feel like if it's music I like in the future that I'm putting out, they'll like it too. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's hard to get a song that you don't want to sing forever, and you end up having to sing it forever.
So yeah.
You want to make sure you put the stuff that you love and love playing.
Yeah, I know. Everything we got to play every night, I love playing. So, yeah, it's been good.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on and hanging with us and talking shop.
No, I really appreciate y'all having me out.
Of course.
Man, absolutely. We appreciate you, and I can't wait to get that that OG, or from the OG basement to the basement East.
Yeah, we're excited,
it's
man.
It's going to be awesome.
Looking forward to seeing you there.
Absolutely.
You want to shout out your socials and any shows real quick before we sign off?
Yeah, for sure. We got Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, website, all that good stuff, YouTube.
What's your handle on there?
It's just Carson Jeffrey on pretty much all of them.
Gotcha.
And maybe a dot or two different, but
yeah. If you search it, it'll come
just
up.
Just search it, yeah. Jeffrey is Jeffrey for maybe some confused, but anyways. Yeah, no, check us out on there. And yeah, we got Green Hall coming up here in a few weeks. Live album coming up. New single, Why in the World, will have dropped when this comes out probably. So check that out. And check out some tour dates on the website. So
that's awesome. Well, man, thanks for, I know you're busy coming into town. Got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, man, but
thank you for taking the time to do this with
absolutely.
Us, man.
Thank y'all for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I'm Nicky T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you on the front row.